Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the first podcast of the year from the Deucebacks team. We are going to talk about the Australian Open, which is coming up very soon. We are going to be previewing the men's side, the women's side, talking about the draw, and obviously ending out with our usual predictions, which usually don't work. But getting into the pod, we have Bijan and Shankar, our usual guests, joining in. So Bijan, coming to you first, been quite a while, but excited for the Australian Open. A lot of people not playing, some people playing.
No, I'm always excited. Tennis season is always exciting. It's a huge event in the house. Everyone gets together. There's a lot of yelling, screaming. So it's always exciting. Tennis season's good fun. I'm glad it's back. And this one's exciting also because, well, this our favorites are fit, at least, presumably. So that seems like a good start. Opposite sides of the draw should be fun. Can't wait.
Yep, indeed. And Shankar, coming to you, I think happy, not happy with the Rafa health issues and also, but let's just get directly into it. So let's talk about our favorites first. Shankar, Rafa, coming to you, top seed, but not in prime condition for the first slam of the year.
Yeah, well, Nadal has some injury problems as he is wont to, but I don't think he would be the favorite anyway, even if he were in the pinkest of health. I think Federer is the overwhelming favorite, given how well he played in Perth and given how well he played all of last year and just how quick he is off the blocks. The one thing I'm looking forward to most is to see how Djokovic plays. And I'm really thrilled because last year it was great that these two split the slams, but they've also not challenged enough at times. And it would be really nice if Djokovic came back and stirred the pot, because he's unqualifiedly in the same league as them. I mean, he's an all-time great. So that's what I'm looking forward to the most.
Interesting. So, Bijan, I'm going to come to you. Murray is out. Wawrinka is just coming back. Same with Djokovic. So you, as Shankar said, the top two aren't like literally unchallenged. You have two people coming off a long break, but still their past record indeed speaks up for themselves, more so in case of Djokovic than, say, Wawrinka. But there is a challenge. Wawrinka has good history at Australian Open, and Djokovic, come on, Australian Open screams Djokovic, literally. So in those terms, there are actually four proper players who could contend. We could talk about the people outside the top four, but there are clearly top four contenders straight away there. What do you say about Djokovic and Wawrinka especially?
So particularly, I think Djokovic, no one's ever going to doubt talent and ability, right? It's the Australian Open. It's pretty much his home. I think he wins one more and it's the new record for the maximum Australian Opens ever. But he always has a good chance. It just depends on how much match fitness in a way he's got, because he hasn't played too much. But I remember talking to, all of us on the group the other day, where he sort of demolished Dominic Thiem. So, you know, I know it's just two sets. I know the second one was 6-4, I think. But Djokovic is always in with a chance. And I think the deeper these guys get, you know how strong it is to beat them mentally. You know, it's just not a physical thing anymore. So if Djokovic can keep up, I guess the match fitness angle. Remember, his second round game is Gaël Monfils. So that's going to be, from a pure physical standpoint, it's going to be a very, very heavy game because Monfils doesn't give in easy. He's very leggy. So it's going to be a long one. So I guess it depends on how much that takes out of him, because then everything after that, they've got a couple of big ones, through his half. Wawrinka, I'm really not sure. He's been out for a lot longer. Wawrinka's invariably, either it's too hot and then he goes and wins things, or it's too cold. And we haven't really seen too much in terms of his build up of the tournament, nothing. So off the four, I think Wawrinka probably has the least chance. But yeah, you can't ever rule Djokovic out, can you?
Indeed. But I also think it's absolute sacrilege that we have gone literally 5 minutes into the podcast and not talked about Federer. So Federer, not the top seed, but clear favorite in terms of health, in terms of recent record, in terms of recent form. He's odd on favorites.
Absolutely. I agree there completely. Hardcourt, if he's fit, there's literally nothing that, there's no reason for him not to be favorite. It's just, that's his game. He's made it better. He's worked on his backhand. I don't know if you guys had the chance to see this. There's an article on something called The Scroll. Let me try finding it for you guys. I remember saving it somewhere. It talks about how over the years, from Federer has gone from using the backhand as just a defensive output or just to change pace to actually making it a lethal weapon. And especially in the last 18 months. Let me find that and send it to you. It's absolutely incredible. So whether it's the fitness that has come back, whether the injury problem was over, the new racket, the new guts, the new new coaching, whatever it is, it's obviously working. And there's no way he doesn't go into tournaments the absolute favorite now.
Indeed. I think, Shankar, it's the right time for you to come in to talk about a bit about Djokovic. Have you seen? He's played very less. Obviously, he's just played a couple of... Is it one or two tournaments? One of those two. And have you seen whatever little you could? What do you think?
Yeah, I saw him play against Dominic Thiem. It wasn't a real tournament. It was an exhibition. But he looked good. And with him, his main problems over the last year and a half or whatever have been mental. So he seems really motivated. He's got this slightly new service action. And if he's motivated, then I don't think he'll win the Australian Open. I think he needs more matches. Everybody is not Roger Federer. But I think he will do well. He has a couple of big matches in his first four rounds. Like Bijan said, Monfils in the second round. And if he gets through that, then he might have to play Sasha Zverev in the fourth round. So that might be a bit too hard for him now. But I think they both will show us where he is. Just the fact that he's got Stepanek and Agassi and all these guys around him, and he's doing all the right things. He's saying the right things. He's not going all woolly-headed. So I would be thrilled if he makes a really deep run in this slam, even though it doesn't augur well for Nadal in the future. I would be very happy to see Djokovic really do well. I think Federer is the favorite above. I don't think Wawrinka is anywhere near the form required to win a slam. I would put Kyrgios and Dimitrov above Wawrinka in terms of the favorite skill.
Yeah.
We will discuss the draw in depth maybe a bit later on the podcast. But let's just talk about contenders. We have talked about top guys, but let's go to people you have mentioned. Dimitrov, Zverev, Kyrgios, Thiem, Cilic. I'm just going in terms of seeds. These are the top six, literally. So the only one which is outside who's not part of the top six is Kyrgios, obviously, you mentioned. So, Shankar, if you have to tip two players to make semifinals outside the top four in this sense would be Wawrinka, Djokovic, Federer and Nadal. Who are the two you're looking forward to making the semifinals?
Dimitrov and Kyrgios. Well, it's not even a long shot because Dimitrov is world number three. And given that he had such a good Australian Open last year, he pushed Nadal very close. He won, I think he lost 6-4 in the fifth. To me, it was the best match of the year. And maybe because Nadal won. Well, no, it was really the best. Just the quality of tennis. I kept expecting Dimitrov to go away mentally. And he kept coming back. And he played so impressively. And everybody loves the way Dimitrov plays. I mean, he's exactly like Federer in that way. So, yeah, I think Dimitrov and Kyrgios can really go deep, because really they have the belief, they've got the form, they've played these big names enough so that they won't just show up and then, you know, get intimidated or frozen. I would not put it past either or both of them to get the semifinals or beyond in this tournament.
Interesting, interesting. Bijan, coming to you, one of my friends, you might appreciate this more because you do follow football far more than, say, Shankar. One of my friends said, Dimitrov is a bit like Arsenal. Great to watch, don't win anything. And that turned at the end of the year, obviously, but this was quite a while back, not obviously early this year. But Dimitrov, C3, Kyrgios, seeded 17, I believe. Would you agree? Are these two the top picks for you outside the top four we discussed?
Yeah, I think I'd agree with those two. I mean, only my other two names that came to my head, but obviously one was Zverev on the other side of the draw, and Del Potro. But that's also because I'm fairly biased towards Del Potro. I think he's a fantastic tennis player as well. But yeah, those two would be my other, you know, the other two picks. But I have to go with Shankar. I think these two are more likely to get to the semifinal. One of them, because I'm not sure if both of them can. I'm not really. Can both of them reach a semi-final? They have, one of them has to beat Nadal then, right?
Which two?
Nick and Dimitrov. They're in the same draw. They're in the same half.
Yeah, I think they'll meet in the quarters or something like that.
Yeah. So I think it's one of them that will probably make the semis, only because of the draw. But on the other side, I think it'll be... it could be Zverev or Del Potro. But then Del Potro has potentially, I think it's a quarter or a semi against... Sorry, I think it's a quarter or... Yeah, one of them against Federer. And Zverev and Djokovic could potentially be a fourth round, if I'm not mistaken.
Interesting, interesting. And staying with you, Bijan, absolute two dark horses if you had to pick for a semifinal spot. Good players, but they could surprise you. For example, for me, one of them would be Jack Sock. I'm interested to see what he does. I'm not sure how fit he is still. But if he's fit, that's the name I'm looking forward to. I really like watching him play, Jack Sock. So that's one of the names I think could... Obviously, when you are an underdog, you need so many things to go in your favor. That's the whole point. But that's one of the names I'm looking forward to. So in terms of any dark horses, dark picks, is Del Potro your dark pick, dark horse pick then?
Yeah, I think he would
and
be.
And he usually is your dark horse pick.
He always is, man. But that's also, I don't know, let's see. I mean...
Because for Del Potro, rankings is irrelevant.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Whenever he plays, if he's fit, he's top five. Okay, I mean, I understand why you guys are struggling, because this is a man who beat Nadal and Federer at the age of 20 to win a Grand Slam. So can he ever be a dark horse? I mean, if you step on court against him, anyone in the draw and thinking, oh, this is an easy win, then like, I'd be amazed. Goffin is another one we haven't talked about. I think David Goffin, who beat Nadal and Federer at the year end. I just don't think he has the size, the power in his game to win seven matches. But I would not be surprised to see him reach that quarterfinal against Federer.
Or, you know, the other odd one is just because of his form of the past 18 months, the one dark horse would probably be Sam Querrey. But maybe quarter kind of level. Because I think Sam is... there's Gasquet and there's Federer in that half. So yeah, maybe Sam Querrey.
What about someone like Kevin Anderson?
Well, again, that's the thing, right? With any of these really big servers, right? So you've got Isner, you've got Anderson. They're always going to be a threat. But have they consistently been threats to anyone? Have they taken out anyone big in the last, in a Grand Slam over the past period of a year, 2 years? Not really. So I get where you're coming from, but in terms of one dark horse, I can't really see anyone but Del Potro and then maybe Querrey. I don't know.
Yeah, I think Bijan is right. Querrey has taken out both Murray and Djokovic in back-to-back Wimbledons. Oh, so
yeah.
I think Querrey meets Federer in the fourth round. Or, and Isner meets Nadal. So He's not allowed to suffer.
So let's do one thing, Shankar, since we're going in depth into the draw. Let's go into the actual draw, okay? I'm just seeing the draw now. So I'm just seeing the first quarter where Nadal is. So is there a clear path for Nadal, do you think? Is there a challenging path for him? What do you think?
Nothing.
His first round seems
round.
Okay.
Yeah, nothing till the fourth round. I mean, Borna Koric is there in the second round. I would be surprised if he was pushed before he met Isner in the fourth round. I would be really surprised and very worried if he got stretched before playing Isner in the fourth round.
Yeah, okay. Absolutely. But having said that, Koric has got the better of him in best of threes a couple of times. That'll be the only one. But I really don't. Yeah, I don't think it there's any interruption till Isner. In fact, I honestly don't even think Isner is an interruption. But yeah, we never know.
Bijan, coming to you on the second quarter, obviously Dimitrov is there, but his path is obviously far more filled with obstacles. He could play Rublev. He could then play Kyrgios in the round of 16. So it's clearly not easy for him.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why I said one of the two, because in that entire half, I think those three are probably your favorites to get really deep. The other one that's I think he's on the other side of the draw. That's Shapovalov. But yeah, it'd probably be Kyrgios and Dimitrov.
And my dark horse pick is apparently in this quarter. So all the more reason for me to focus. Jack Sock, I think, is on this in this quarter, I think. Because Kyrgios and Jack Sock sometimes play doubles together. So Kyrgios, Jack Sock, obviously Dimitrov, Rublev. Shankar, second quarter looks enticing.
Very much so. I think Kyrgios, Dimitrov will reach their head-to-head, their matchup, and that'll be the winner of the quarter. There's one question about Kyrgios's knees, but he walks around as though he's really like 90 years old, and he just steps up and boom, 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 he hits these amazing serves and he plays these weird shots. But something tells me that he's ready now to do really well in the Australian Open. And I would even put it past, I think he is probably the favorite in that quarter to go past Dimitrov. And if he plays Nadal in the semis, yep, I'd still back him.
So is there a consensus we can say Nadal and Kyrgios as the top two from that half? Would you both be agreeing with that?
Yeah, I'm good there.
I'd say Nadal, Dimitrov. My pick would probably be Dimitrov over Kyrgios.
Okay, interesting. Bijan, sticking with you, third quarter, Zverev team.
Yeah, those pretty much.
Those two clearly seem to be the favorite, but this has Djokovic.
Yes, I think that fourth round, I think it's the fourth round, which is the potential Zverev and Djokovic game. I think that's the interesting one.
For me, it's the third round, Zverev versus Zverev, possibly.
Yeah, that's not a matchup, though. He'll beat his brother every day of the week.
But it's interesting to watch always.
It'll be a great fun game just because there's such a difference in styles, right? Misha's serving volley and he's typically big ground strokes, big serve. So that'll be a good fun game. But yeah, I don't think Misha is going to beat the younger one.
The problem with Zverev is that he has always done badly in slams. I remember famously I predicted him to win the French Open last year. He lost first round. And I said he'll do well in the US Open and he lost in the second round. So he seems to have a mental block and he has to get past it in the slams. He did well in Australia last year. He pushed Nadal really hard in the third or fourth round. So hopefully he's ready. Game-wise, he's all there. I mean, if his whole game is in place. I think this is the slam where he might get this quarters. And if he plays team... poor Zverev, he's done for. He might as well go home now. But good thing he's not listening to me. So yeah.
But you mentioned something, Shankar, just before about Djokovic versus Monfi. Second round, possibly.
Second round, yeah. I think that's really going to be an indicator as to how far Djokovic actually is. Because he's never lost to Monfi. But Djokovic, with all his breaks, is not the Novak we know. And I would still expect him to win in, say, four sets. And I hope I'm right.
And I'm just seeing who else is there. I can see Kokkinakis in the same quarter. If his forehand game is on song, home crowd advantage, possibly some upset somewhere?
Yeah, sure. I mean, that's there. The problem with all these untested guys is there's a reason they're not rated untested. Highly. They've not shown it enough, right? So,
yeah. So, sticking with you, Shankar, last quarter, you could say the two regulars, but obviously are the different corners, Federer, clear favorite, and your personal favorite of Thomas Burdick.
And Burdick will show up and lose. Yeah, he's...
God, no.
Well, Federer's all the way to the finals there. I mean, he's not going to be stopped the way he's playing. Absolutely.
But Del Potro and Goffin.
Yes, good point. I would hope Del Potro beats Goffin, and then Federer Del Potro would be good. And that's a good matchup. But even then, Federer dominates Del Potro. I think it's like he beats him every three times for each time he loses to him something. So it's not as scary as Federer fans might believe. But that should be a great match.
So Shankar, for you, the two semifinalists from the second half, Federer and.
Okay, I've been burned twice, but I'll go again. Zverev.
So, Federer, Zverev, Nadal, Kyrgios, correct?
Yeah, correct.
For you, obviously, you have said Nadal and Dimitrov, and then Federer, I assume, obviously, and the third quarter.
I'd say Federer and Djokovic.
I would go with Federer and Djokovic as well.
Yeah.
And that semifinals is going to be a mouth-watering prospect.
Thank God for the long weekend.
I think it'll be on August 20th, Jan 26th as well. Perfect.
Yeah, perfect. Long weekend. Just see, too bad. You don't have the long weekend this time.
Yeah, that's a problem. I might need to find some time and sneak into watching some games. So maybe that's there. So I think it's time we have concentrated obviously on the men's side. Now we can look at the women's side. And as they say, Serena isn't playing. It's an absolute open field as usual because it's always Serena is playing. Okay, who is going to face her in the final? That's the case we usually face with. But now, obviously, Serena isn't there. So let's go to the women's side. Bijan, coming to you. Coming into the Australian Open, the form guides. Let's not look at the draw first. The form guide. Who are your top three or four? Obviously, because no Serena means like you could literally name 20 favorites. So let's filter it out to your top three or four. Who do you think?
Muguruza, Halep, and Kvitova.
Muguruza, Halep, Kvitova. Shankar.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Uh,
Halep, Svitolina, who's done really well. And something tells me Sharapova is going to go deep.
Oh, no.
So for me, Halep, I sincerely hope this is the year for Wozniacki, at least in terms of form. And then I would go, just considering the schedule, if you have enough off days and if the weather is a bit more kind, Venus Williams. So that those are my three top picks, I think, in terms of coming into the with the form guy. But let's look at the draw. Shankar, have you had a chance to look at the women's side of the draw? Any thoughts about it?
I saw it when it first came out, and I think it's very promising for Wozniacki and Svitolina. The only reason I'm not backing Wozniacki is that she's never, again, she's a bit like Goffin, that she doesn't have a weapon to win, to dominate people. She's very good, and if anybody has ever done their time to win a Grand Slam title, it's her. Sure, she deserves it, but I still think there's enough people in this draw who will stop her from winning seven matches.
So the form guide is with her, but her past record isn't. Would that be an apt way of saying it?
Yeah, she hasn't proven it yet. I think she hasn't proven that she can win the big seven matches in a row, that kind of stuff. Yeah.
So I'm just trying to open up the women's side of the draw. So let's do similarly what we did for the men's side of the draw. Bijan, coming to you, the first quarter I'm going to look, it's clearly Simona Halep. Is this her chance? Because her side of the quarter doesn't look really bad, but till the third round, obviously, you said she possibly could face Kvitova in the third round.
If you take this step back as well, I know this is a total wild card, but she could potentially face probably Bouchard in the second round, and then Kvitova in the third, which is itself a really hard start.
Bouchard is not that Bouchard who reached the Wimbledon finals those years ago. It's just not the same.
You know, the talent is there, like with many in the women's row, but it's not the easiest for all the favorites that we've mentioned, all nine of them, essentially they all have really tough first couple of games, at least up until the fourth round.
And one more thing, even if, say, Halep gets past Kvitova, she could play Pliskova next?
Yeah, and I don't think she'd beat Pliskova. If Pliskova gets that far, her serve's going to be firing and she's going to be tough. And she's, again, Pliskova has enough experience where she's not going to get intimidated. She's not going to freeze.
So, and Pliskova might play Konta, is it? That's what it looks like.
Correct.
The fourth
Konta's,
round.
There's some sort of an injury question around Konta, right? She pulled out of Brisbane, so correct. We don't know how fit she is or whatever. But all these top players, they're so good that if they play two or three matches one day after with the day gap, they can play themselves into the form needed to win. And as we saw last year, brought about by Serena's absence, that they're all excellent and they're all almost equally matched. So there's no question of somebody getting into a match and being, you know, mentally down or, you know, just seeming like an insurmountable mountain. So Konta is as tough as it comes. I remember the match in which she beat Halep at Wimbledon last year. It was one of the best matches of the year. So the game is there. But again, if you look at form, I think Halep and Pliskova will be the two form players. And I shaded to Pliskova from that quarter, I think.
Okay, fair enough. Let's look at the second quarter and then just round off the half. Second quarter, Shankar, are you aware, is Muguruza fit? I didn't see the preseason, but I believe she retired from Brisbane, is it?
Correct. Yeah, she also had some injury questions, a back problem, I think. So yeah, it's as if the women's tour was already very unpredictable, and they have all these injuries. Anybody who's betting on the women's game is really, you know, they really have a lot of money to spare. That's what I would say.
Is she fit? Is she playing? Bijan, are you aware?
Yeah, she's obviously playing. She pulled out earlier for the first tournament, but she is playing. So just interestingly, when you're going through the draw, because this is all in the first half, you've got a potential third round, which is Sharapova Kerber, right? And the winner of that could play Muguruza in the fourth. So that is your first half.
And also, I could see Madison Keys is in this quarter. I don't know. Obviously, US Open form.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm not sure. Sloan, she hasn't done anything else post that, though.
Both Madison Keys and Sloane Stephens haven't won a match since the US Open finals. So I think Madison Keys haven't won a match since the US Open semifinals. So I don't think the Australian Open is where they'll turn it around. But Kerber is the dark horse in that quarter. If a former world number one, former champion can be a dark horse, because she beat Venus.
Absolutely,
she beat Venus at Sydney, and she's doing well. So,
and no pressure, the rankings.
Exactly. Yeah. So maybe that's what she has to. 1 year she gets to number one, the next year she bottoms all the way down, and the next year she gets back up. Maybe that's her plan. But that is a rich quarter of the draw here. Sharapova, Kerber, Muguruza,
Halep, everyone's on that side of the
Yeah. So it's.
Joanna Konta, then you've got Safarova, Plitzkova. Yeah.
And then Sevastova is also there.
Yes,
Sharapova.
Yeah, Sharapova
lost to her, right?
Yes.
Yeah, she did at the US Open last year. Correct.
Correct.
So that's potential both second.
Round. God, what a quarter.
I know. I think, yeah.
Try picking one.
They've closed the betting. Pick one.
Right. Obviously, one gets to the semifinal. This.
Yeah. Well, I picked Sharapova, but now I'm thinking. Maybe I was too. I could pick Kerber is the one I saw. I mean, then obviously when you see someone play, you're always impressed. She's won the Australian Open and she knows how to play there and all that stuff. So Kerber.
Kerber. Bijan.
Muguruza.
Ooh. Okay, I think I need to be just do a differential and say Halep. Is okay. Halep in this one?
Halep, oh, sorry. First Halep quarter, is right?
The first quarter. First quarter. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, then I would stick with Kerber.
Okay.
I think Sharapova is going to lose somewhere. I am hoping. Let's see.
Yeah, this pod hasn't been kind to Sharapova over the years.
Let's see. So the third quarter, Venus Williams, obviously she's starting off. Yeah, potentially a with tough one.
Bencic.
Makarova looks to be in this quarter. And then Svitolina is obviously in this quarter. So, Shankar, Svitolina, Makarova, Venus Williams, anyone else in this quarter? Sloane Stephens, you did mention she hasn't won a match post the US Open. So, four big names, technically. How do you see this quarter going?
Yeah, I'll stay with my prediction. Svitolina. Venus has never lost to Bencic, but Bencic is in good form and Venus is old. So anything could happen there. Well, I would still expect Venus to get through Bencic unless... Venus will beat Bencic, I think. I don't think anybody's going to beat Svitolina in that quarter. I would say she's my semifinalist.
Mm-hmm. Bijan?
Yeah, I have to agree. I don't think it's... I think even if Venus Sloane Stephens is a potential option there, but I still think it's probably going to be Svitolina.
And Svitolina was amazing in Brisbane.
Yeah, and even though the last 4 months of the previous year, Julia Georges from Germany, she's ranked 12. She had a decent end of season, but I think this is going to be too far out. So yeah, pretty much Svitolina.
I saw a couple of matches of Svitolina in Brisbane and she was in red hot form. I don't know if early season counts as peaking too early. I'm not sure about those things, whether it counts as much in early season form, but she looks ready. If anyone ever could look ready. So, yeah, I would stick to Svitolina. Venus Williams, if she gets through till quarterfinals where she could potentially meet Svitolina, Venus should be in good form. Svitolina should be in good form. But maybe if she has tough early rounds, maybe it might be a bit too much for Venus. That's the only thing I can think why Svitolina might get through. The fourth quarter, we have talked already, Wozniacki, Van der Weg, Ostapenko is here, Coco is here. So, but is it straight for Wozniacki, Shankar? What do you think?
I don't think there's a player in the world who wants to play Elena Ostapenko on any day of the week in terms of she's got that power game and she knows how to play big matches, I guess. But you would think Wozniacki is the head and shoulders favorite in that quarter, just because she's played well this year. She reached a final win. Where was that? Hobart. And so, yeah, I think she should be good. Ostapenko, blow hot, blow cold. Yeah, so if she does it a few times, then we can start calling her a threat in every tournament. But another person in this quarter is Dominika Cibulková. She was trying to get back. And Coco Vandeweghe, who made the semis last year. So she's a bit like Ostapenko. She doesn't go that crazy on court, but she also big shots, you know, very aggressive. Pat Cash is a coach. Everything should work there as well. I hope Wozniacki comes through. I think she should consider herself the favorite there.
Interesting one. She's also Sam Stosur. There's a potential Coco Sam Stosur game, and then eventually probably the Ostapenko. So I think if you are bringing down to two people, it could be two of those three, and then Ostapenko and Wozniacki to the end of the quarter. Yeah.
Wow. Sam Stosur is playing Monica Puig in the first round. Monica Puig is one who won the Olympic gold.
Olympics, yeah.
The first Grand Slam champion versus Olympic gold medalist. That's a pretty decent first round match, I think. Yes, I think. Much as we all miss Serena, we should be happy for her for leveling out the draw like this when she does.
I'm like, I think we should at least thank her that there is something to talk about in the women's section in depth. Like okay, Serena, who's facing her? That's usually how it might go. But yeah, so a lot of contenders there, but we seem to agree that it's Svitolina, Wozniacki, potentially Sharapova or Muguruza there, and Simona Halep, possibly.
And Kerber or Sharapova. Kerber. Yeah, I think Kerber. That's fine. Those four or five of those into the semis, I think.
Okay. Then, Shankar, sticking with you, your pick for champion in the men's side and the women's side?
Roger Federer and... Okay, I'm going to go on a limb. Elena Svitolina.
Ooh, fourth seed, right? She's the fourth seed, I think.
I just like her. I mean, I liked her last year, the French, when she managed to lose from a position when nobody should lose from. But I just like the way she plays, and I'm very happy that she's in good form this year.
Bijan, how about you?
Federer for the men's, and how much ever I want Nadal to win it, I think this is Federer's. And I think in the women's, I think if Muguruza makes it through the first week, then I think this is hers.
Interesting. I would think Federer, I want to say Wozniacki or Halep. That's my two preferred picks. It's going to be, obviously, it's not going to come true, but that's a different thing. Let's not go into that because Shankar will then start talking about Zverev.
Yeah, poor guy. Yeah.
So we will not go there. So in terms of, obviously, there has been a huge injury spate in tennis in general in the last year. And obviously, Australian Open hasn't been spared. We have lots. Nishikori is in playing. Murray is in playing. And few people are coming off long injury. And so in terms of upsets, Bijan, coming to you first. Is there a potential really early upset? We have talked about Wawrinka. He could be a really slow starter. So is he one of those candidates?
Yeah, definitely. But I'm not sure who he's. I'm not sure what the how the draw helps him or doesn't help him. I'm not sure. I don't know. I mean, I don't know at which stage he could potentially drop out. But yeah, one him for sure. I think one upset could be Murphy's Djokovic. I don't know. I just get that. It's just one of those irritating feelings that it could be possible. How much ever I don't want that to happen, but I think Murphy's Djokovic in round two is another one.
I think it's because you don't want it to happen that you keep thinking it may happen. That's how it works.
Yeah, yeah.
And Bijan, one more thing we have not talked about. Maybe it's a bit sad that pick up his name maybe in the early possible upsets. Is it possible, again, one of the guys who really starts really badly in some tournaments, Cilic?
Yeah, he's top seven and we didn't even talk about him. Poor
exactly.
Guy.
Exactly. Because nobody ever takes him seriously till he comes till quarterfinals, at least.
Yeah, I don't think he has a really tough run, so to speak, up until that stage.
Exactly.
I think, but you said upsets, right? I don't think he's gonna be upset in any way.
Yeah, even his fourth round is against Karina Busta. So,
yeah, Cilic, even though Karina Busta just won Guiyang, was it? Yeah, Guiyang. Yeah. I don't think... Yeah, I think he goes through safe on that side.
He has Muller in that section of the draw, but the funny thing with Cilic is even when he loses, it's not a major upset. And when he wins, people like, you know, it's tough on him, I guess.
So I'm going by upset in terms of just rankings. But
yeah, Cilic could be an upset. Yeah, Cilic Muller could be an upset easily. Giles Muller.
No, I don't think, I'm not sure. Muller has never been much of a giant killer on any of the other surfaces.
Well, he's only been a giant killer on one surface on one time. So I think the sample size is too small there. But if you had to look for an upset, like the whole point is, I don't think we Morphy Djokovic is probably the biggest shot at an upset in the first week, I would say.
I'm just
Saddam Bijan. It's very possible.
I can see that third round there's a Dimitrov Rublev.
Rublev is good, but I think Dimitrov is playing at a level where he will be able to handle whatever Rublev gives him.
Well,
let's throw out another wild one. See, Wawrinka potentially being ousted by Verdasco.
Verdasco was playing Bautista Agut in the first round, right? Bautista Agut
is
20.
Yeah.
So any of them could be Wawrinka.
Yep.
Again, one of those long-standing names we have not obviously is dropped off the horizon. I just saw his name on the road, so just wanted to pick your brains on that. Shankar, no mention obviously of Joe Wilfred Tsonga.
He's a chronic underachiever, isn't he? I mean, he is
correct.
I've never been even remotely worried when he plays any of these big four guys as to whether he's going to knock them over, and he never does. I mean, he's like Burdick, you know, like in their minds they are somewhere they are sated and they think this is as far as we can get, and unfortunately it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. Unless they do it regularly, they're not going to change. So Tsonga, where is he in the draw?
He plays a qualifier. He's 15, plays a qualifier, and I think
he's in the Dimitrov quarter, I think.
Yeah, and Shapovalov is his second round potential.
Well,
and then Kyrgios after that.
So. And Kyrgios, yeah. I don't think Tsonga will beat Kyrgios.
But will he beat Shapovalov?
Yeah. Ask me in 3 days.
He's got the game, Shapovalov.
Ask me after the second round, yeah. Shapovalov is the most exciting thing. So the future is him and Zverev and team. But Shapovalov, again, when they're so young, you don't know which version of them is going to show up at the Slam. But if they both win their first round matches, that'll definitely be a night match, I think, Shapovalov, Tsonga.
Yeah. I'm seeing, this is a tongue twister, I'm seeing Shapovalov is playing a guy called Tsitsipas. I hope I'm getting it right. Has any of you seen this guy? I've never seen this name before, so.
No.
Stefanos, he's a Greek. No, never seen him, never heard of him.
Okay. Yeah,
he's only 19.
So
only got 300,000 prize money. Federer won't even come to the Australian Open for that kind of money. Yeah, so
women said, obviously we talked a lot of Everest, which means there's an equal opportunity of a lot of us.
What we should do is we should just record separately the women's draw and then just keep replaying it every time there's no Serena for every slam.
And just edit it out after the Open, saying that we predicted so-and-so would win. And you know what you don't know is that we also predicted that just about everybody else in the draw would win. Yeah.
But upsets, possible upsets, is there even an up? You could call anything as an upset in the women's draw? Because on that day, anyone can beat anyone.
I'm already upset, yeah. Azarenka is out because of her court custody thing. If she had been playing, I would have been interested. Mm-hmm. Somehow she's somebody I like. But women's draw, yeah. Who are the upsets? You have to redefine the world. The word
exactly.
Upset, right? Yeah. So if anyone but the top 50 win, it's an upset. Okay, fair enough.
Anyone?
You know, if any women followers, they're just gonna slam our Twitter so bad. Because we've just been trashing the draws every single Grand Slam.
No, it is that open. I mean, there's always a period like this. I mean, next year when Federer finally realizes that he's a human being and he may grow old, there will be kind of not a vacuum, but the top will be a little more open, I think. I don't think Murray's going to come back into big four form ever again. A hip operation. I don't think it's something you recover from that way, from what I've been reading online and all that stuff. And Nadal, he probably has another year or two, and that's it. So finally, all these guys will go. Federer, I don't know. He might play for another 5 years. I really don't know. The way he plays, the way he's motivated, his style, less stress, shorter matches. I mean, everything about that guy is, you know, it defies any sort of explanation. And he's proven everyone wrong so many times. Last year, I was going through some old newspaper articles in 2013 and 14 and saying, Roger Federer soldiering on, even though everybody knows he will never win a slam again. And la la. I'm like, oh, yeah, sure. Great. And now he can definitely win one. And if he stays fit, which he will do everything he can to, he's already the favorite for Wimbledon, right? I mean, who else is there? It's crazy.
Interesting. I think before we close out, Shankar, any last points from you in terms of what are you looking forward to the most? If there are a couple of things you are looking forward to the most, except the weather where people start fainting and all, other than that, what are the things? Obviously, that's not something you're going to look forward to, but you would want the best players to be in their prime condition. That's what makes Australian Open great. So what are the couple of things you're looking forward to as part of closing this part?
I'd like to see Novak play deep, go deep into the tournament, because it'll really change the dynamic of the tour. The fact that he's back, it'll make people, it'll have so many ripple effects. And of course, I would like to see Nadal do well. But
and that's not looking forward to. That's a taken, right?
No, I mean, you don't know. You don't know how fit or how injured he is. So.
And with Djokovic, more interested about the mental side. Obviously, we know he's a physical specimen, or at least was till he withdrew from the tour for a while. Five setters aren't an issue for him. He's going to play. It's more about the mental aspect, how tuned in he is. Would that be fair?
Exactly. Absolutely. That last set against Dominic Thiem at the French Open, where he just went away 6-love. I mean, it was the most horrifying thing I've ever seen. I couldn't watch it, and I still had to watch it. It was so painful to watch. You know, I was like, no, not you. I mean, you're Novak Djokovic. You won 12 slams. Come on, do something here. You know, you're not supposed to be folding like this. I mean, losing is one thing, but that is, I mean, and yeah. So I hope he's back, and that will be the best news for the men's tour if he comes back.
Bijan, a couple of things you're looking forward to. What do you in this couple of weeks of the tour?
I think nothing outside of what Shankar said, to be honest. I think Djokovic's return, great for the tour. You want to see a bit more of a challenge back again, because it was, let's be honest, it wasn't expected for Nadal and Federer to do what they did last year, but they still did it, and it just shows how hard it is for absolutely everyone else to break through. I'd like to see Zverev break that Grand Slam hoodoo in terms of just, you know, not going beyond the fourth round. That'd be interesting.
Give me some Wawrinka's respect. Back.
Yeah. No, but, you know, Wawrinka's back. He has a fantastic game. Probably the best backhand in the game. I'd love to see that fit and filing. And on the women's side, you want to see someone like Wozniacki do really well. She had a great year, but, you know, if we remember, go back a few years, she was world number one by winning everything outside of Grand Slams. At some stage, it has to translate to getting a Grand Slam. So it should be good. That's what I'm probably looking forward to.
Yeah, I'd just like to add on to that. Even though number one versus number two should not be an upset, but it would be a huge surprise if in the women's side, number one and number two played. And if Halep played Wozniacki in the women's final, that would be a great story. I mean, that would be great to see one of them winning. So, yeah.
I think it would be a great story if they indeed get there first.
Well, yeah, that's true as well. Yeah, so we all agree. Any woman and Federer, right? That's what it is.
Yeah, pretty much. From the 10 that you mentioned, yeah.
Oh, Srikanth, we can record the French now, and it'll be any woman and Nadal. And we can do the one for Wimbledon as well and just copy-paste the...
Is Serena not expected to be back by French?
I don't know. No, she's not. She's very close to being ready. I just don't know. It seems like the French is not her favorite title. Favorite
and it's
surface.
Not the Open you would want to come back to. I would say Wimbledon.
She would probably want to come back to Wimbledon. Because Wimbledon, if her serve is working, she doesn't even have to move. I mean, seriously, she's going to be that good. So I would expect to see her at Wimbledon, if nothing else. There are no other issues.
So we are at the end of the pod, where, and obviously when we review the Australian Open, we are going to tell you we got it right in terms of the women's draw, at least. We can always say we got it right.
Except, even if only for Ostapenko, we didn't get it. But we didn't name her, but we said some woman was close.
We broadened the framework as much as we could in terms of women's draw. But we are indeed going to be reviewing at the end of this, hopefully, two great weeks of tennis. We are going to be back. If you have any questions, any feedback, any opinions about this pod, please let us know. We are all on Twitter. You can always drop us a message. It would be very helpful in terms of any feedback, comments. If there's anything you want to cover as part of the review show, do let us know. We'll be there to cover this. Till next time, this is your host, Srikanth.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.